God is good all the time. We are going to be using as a springboard Luke chapter 16, verses 16. And as you know, for the first 8 weeks of 2019, we are studying from the subject pressing into the kingdom. Someone say pressing into the kingdom. I am challenging the church to give the first 8 weeks or 8 Sundays of 2019 to the Lord by being in the house of the Lord while we worship together, we study together, we fellowship together, and we just press into the kingdom of God. And I shared last Sunday that as a commitment, my commitment to you on Sundays is to bring the heat and bring the meat. Right? And I'm not talking about the physical heat because you never know how that's going to be. But I'm committed to bringing the heat of the Word of God, but also to bring the meat of the Word of God to teach you. Amen? Because I believe that we need to be taught the Word of the Lord. So I want to challenge you. I want to inspire you to come to Sunday service with your Bibles. Come to Sunday service with an open heart and a hungry heart. Anybody hungry for the Word of God this morning? Anybody hungry for the word of the Lord? I want to tell you, man. I want to be courageous enough to let you know that if you come to Chapel of Change on Sundays with a high level of expectation, I really believe that God will touch your life in a powerful way. I really believe that God will speak to you in new ways. And anybody need a word from the Lord in 2019, right? So we're going to be using Luke chapter 16. Verse 16 as a springboard, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Now listen to the word of the Lord. This is what Jesus says. He says, "The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it." Let me read it again. "The law and the prophets," that's referring to the Old Testament, "were until John." Who's John? John is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. He is the one who prepared the way for the Messiah. He had one foot in the Old Testament, another foot somewhat in the New Testament, and he is John the Baptist. He is the prophet. Now listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Since that time, the kingdom of God," someone say kingdom of God. "The kingdom of God has been preached." So we preach the kingdom of God. And if you're exploring what Chapel of Change is about, you need to know that we are a kingdom-driven church, right? At the end of the day, it is not about Chapel of Change. It is about the kingdom of God. At the end of the day, it's not about me. You need to hear this from the pastor himself. It's not about me. It is about the kingdom of God. And let me just talk like family for a second. It's not even about you. It is about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, "Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it." Notice the response to the kingdom of God. People are pressing into it. They're not just looking at it. They're not just gazing upon it, but they're pressing into it. They're pressing into it. I just came from our Carson campus, and it was filled up with people. Why is that? Because people are pressing into the kingdom of God. I sense it. Even here, you came here today not to have church, but to press into the kingdom of God. Is anybody tired of playing games with God? Tired of messing around? It's time that we what? Press into the kingdom of God. And this is the challenge that I'm laying before us in the first 8 weeks of this year. In fact, the entire year, because our theme for Chapel of Change this year is pressing into the kingdom of God. So I want to warn you in advance, when you come to Chapel of Change, if you come to our Bible studies, if you come to our prayer meetings, if you come to Sunday worship, you're going to be challenged not to be lazy. You're going to be challenged to press into the things of God like never before. Someone say amen to that. Now, last Sunday, we learned a couple valuable lessons that I want to kind of remind us this morning so that we're all on the same page. I want to do a little mini review to get us all on the same page. Last Sunday, we learned that the gospel is the good news of the availability of King Jesus and his kingdom. I want to challenge you to memorize this definition, because this is what the gospel is all about. It is the good news of the availability of King Jesus and his kingdom. Now, this definition, it covers everything that Jesus did with his life, with his death, and how he rose from the grave. And it also includes that the kingdom is available to us. So this is good news, my brothers and sisters, that King Jesus is available to this world. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is available to this world. You don't have to die in your sin. Jesus is available to you. You don't have to live a defeated lifestyle. Jesus is available to you. You don't have to live a life addicted on drugs. Jesus is available to you. And let me remind you that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if anybody hears me and opens up the door, I will come in." What is he saying? He's saying, "I am available to you." So we learned that the gospel offers us salvation of our souls. This is what the gospel offers us. It offers us the salvation of our souls. Let me remind you that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, the scripture says, "I declare to you the gospel." Someone say gospel. "The gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved." So get this, my brothers and sisters. We receive the gospel, we stand on the gospel, and we are saved by the gospel. The gospel offers us the salvation of our souls. This is why Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe." Are there any believers in the house this morning? Amen. The gospel offers us the salvation of our souls. You don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to go to hell, but the gospel offers to save you. Someone say amen to that. We also learned that the gospel offers us the kingdom of God. Someone say kingdom of God. One of the most precious promises that Jesus gives us is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I love this promise. We don't have to fear, even though we may be little, even though we may be weak, even though our strength may be weak. We don't have to fear, because the Father delights in giving us his kingdom, and everything we need for life and godliness are in the kingdom of God. Now, we learned that the gospel is about Jesus coming to give us his kingdom. That's good news. That Jesus was born to give us his kingdom. We learn that the gospel is about Jesus establishing and advancing his kingdom on earth through you and I. You have a calling upon your life, and part of that calling is to advance Jesus's kingdom in this earth with your life. So, my brothers and sisters, the gospel is about Jesus recovering and restoring the calling for which we were created. That's good news. Amen? That's good news. Now, let me remind you that Jesus came not only to bring us a new birth, but he also came to bring a new covenant, a new race of people, a new culture, and and a new kingdom. This is what Jesus came for, my brothers and sisters, not just to bring us a new birth, but to bring a new covenant, a new race of people called the church, a new kingdom, and a new culture. Last Sunday, we learned about the kingdom of God. And we learned that the kingdom of God is the overarching theme of the entire Bible. The overarching theme of the entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the scripture reveals the coming kingdom of God. We learned that the kingdom of God was Jesus' main message. Last Sunday, we learned that Jesus preached the kingdom, he taught the kingdom, and he demonstrated the power of the kingdom. Last Sunday, we learned that the kingdom of God was the main message of the early disciples. Amen. And we're bringing this message to our attention, and we're studying the message of the kingdom. And last Sunday, we learned that one of the definitions of the kingdom of God is God's alternative civilization amid the world's fallen civilization, ruled by his reign, presence, and order. Write that down. The kingdom of God is God's alternative civilization amid the world's fallen civilization that is ruled by his reign, it's ruled by his presence, and it's ruled by his order. We have a king, and his name is Jesus, and we're ruled by his authority, by his presence, his glory, his indwelling presence, the dwelling of God amongst us, and we seek to have his order in our life. Last Sunday, we learned that the world is out of order, and that as Christians, we are to pray that God's order be manifested in our marriage, in our family, in our spiritual life, and that there are way too many Christians in this world that are walking around with a tag on their forehead that says, out of order. And I believe, that through this message and through the studying of God's word, that the Holy Spirit is going to rip this tag off of many people's lives, and that we're going to come into the order of the kingdom, and the Lord is going to bless you like he's never blessed you before, because he can't bless something that is out of order. He can't bless something that is out of order. So get this, the kingdom of God is God's alternative civilization that is ruled by his reign, his presence, and his order. Last Sunday, we learned that if you've come to Christ in the last couple years, you have just stepped into the kingdom of God. You are in the lobby of the kingdom. But how many of you know that the kingdom of God is large? It's gigantic. It's titanic. And the kingdom of God and its inheritance is inexhaustible. We learned that. I gave you a metaphor that in the kingdom of God, there are many rooms that must be explored. And in each room is an aspect of your inheritance that God wants you to walk in this earth. Let me remind you, my brothers and sisters, that as believers in Christ Jesus, as children of God, our inheritance is not just waiting for us when we get to heaven, but there are aspects of our inheritance that we need to walk in this life today. The kingdom of God is full of different rooms, and in each room is an aspect of your inheritance that you are to possess. In one room may be your joy. In another room may be your peace. In another room may be your calling in this earth. How many of you know that everybody in here has a calling from God, and that calling is not going to just come and slap you upside the head? You need to press into that calling. You need to explore the different rooms of the kingdom of God. You need to open up a door. Some of y'all need to break down a door and take what is rightfully yours. We learned last week that not only does the kingdom of God have many, many different rooms in it, but there are multiple floors in the kingdom of God. There are multiple levels to be conquered. And so even though the challenge is, don't spend your life in the lobby of the kingdom, another challenge is, for some of y'all, don't spend your life on the first floor of the kingdom. Get to where the elevator is and press that button and wait until that elevator comes down. Wait on the Lord, because 2019 is your time to elevate to another level, to another floor in the kingdom of God. Stop roaming around the first floor. There are new dimensions of grace for you to experience, new dimensions of joy for you to experience, new dimension of God's purpose for you to experience, new dimensions of holiness for you to experience. But you gotta find the elevator in the kingdom of God, and you need to go up to the next level. I'm determined to go to the next level in 2019. I'm moving on up like the Jeffersons. If you under 40 years old, you need to Google that. I was raised off the Jeffersons. Amen. If we're going to go up to the top of the kingdom of God, we're pressing in. We're pressing in to the kingdom of God. Someone say amen to that. Now, my brothers and sisters, in our study this morning, I want to answer one major question in our study this morning, and that is, how do we enter the kingdom of God? I want to answer this question. Jesus says we are to press into the kingdom of God, but I want to answer the question, how do we enter into the kingdom of God? Because maybe you came today and the Lord is already dealing with you. The Lord is already moving in your life. By the way, I want to let you know that you're not here by accident, but it's a divine setup that God brought you to the house of the Lord. You may think your mama invited you, but at the end of the day, it was God trying to get you into his presence to let you know that there's some things that you are to experience that you are missing out on because you're spending your life in the lobby of the kingdom. Some of y'all are on the porch of the kingdom and you need to come in. So we need to answer this question. How do we enter the kingdom of God? Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he says, the time promised by God has come at last. He was excited about the kingdom of God. He said, man, I love it when a promise of God is fulfilled. Anybody love it when a promise of God is fulfilled? He said, the time promised by God has come at last. He answered, the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. I love this. He says, The time promised by God the Father has come to us. It is upon our generation. It is right in front of our face. We don't have to die in our sins no longer, but the promise of the kingdom is here. It's right here. And then he gives us the response that we are to take. He says, repent of your sins and believe the good news. How do you enter the kingdom of God? The first thing is what we call repentance. Someone say repentance. Repentance. That's what he says. He says repent. He says repent. What is repentance? Repentance is a U-turn in your mind that results in a U-turn with your lifestyle. I want to say that again. You need to understand what repentance is. Jesus said to repent. Repentance is a U-turn in your mind that results in a U-turn with your lifestyle. Listen, repentance, get this, is a 180 degree turn. Let me illustrate this for you. Repentance is you're going one way, but then you turn 180 degrees the opposite way and you go the other way. Repentance is a U-turn, a 180 degree turn in your mind that results in a 180 degree turn with your lifestyle. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. Repentance is not a 360 degree turn. It's a 180 degree turn. For those of you that used to ride skateboards, you should know this. Repentance is not a 360-degree turn. It is a 180-degree turn. Listen to this. Listen to this. Repentance is not a 360-degree turn. This is a 360-degree turn. You're going this way, and you turn, and instead of stopping, you turn, and you end up in the same place where you started. That's a 360-degree turn. That's not repentance. The reason why many people are they're crying, but they're ending up in the same place is because they're not repenting, they're spinning. Y'all didn't catch that. The reason why every 3 months you're ending up in the same place is because you're not repenting, you're spinning. And some of y'all are making me dizzy. Because that's all you're doing is you're crying, but you're spinning. You put your head down, but you're spinning. And the devil got you living a life of spinning. And God is looking and said, why are you doing all that spinning? I didn't tell you to spin. I didn't tell you to do a 360. I told you to do a 180. Woo. And then you're walking around like a drunk person. Repentance, my brothers and sisters, is a 180-degree turn that results in a 180-degree turn in your lifestyle. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The reason why people end up on the same spot is because they're not repenting. They're spinning. They're spinning. Now listen, repentance starts in the mind, but it manifests with your lifestyle. Psalms 119:59 says, I thought on my ways, and I turn my feet unto thy testimonies. Listen to this. He turned his mind before he turned his feet. The mind represents the inner change. The feet represent the outer change. If you try to change your feet without changing your mind, eventually your unchanged mind will change back your feet. Did y'all catch that? If you try to change your feet without changing your mind, eventually your unchanged mind will change back your feet. And last week, millions of people try to change their feet without changing their mind. You know what it's called? It's called New Year's resolutions. And some of them are going to do good for about 3 months. Some of them are going to do great. They're going to be like, I'm not smoking no more. I'm not committing sex out of marriage no more. I'm not going to drink no more. And they're going to try through willpower to change their life. But how many know willpower don't get the job done? Only the Holy Ghost gets the job done. And eventually, they're going to go back to their old patterns of lifestyle. You know why? Because they changed their feet, but they didn't change their mind. Repentance is a 180-degree turn in your mind that results in a 180-degree turn with your life. So Jesus says you are to repent, but he also says you are to believe. Someone say believe. Believing brings you into the kingdom of God. And the scripture talks a lot about believing. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus said, not only are you to repent, but you're also to believe. And the scriptures talk a lot about believing. Right here in John chapter 1, for all those who believe in his name, you get your crown back. You get your status back as children of God. We started off as children of God in the Garden of Eden, but we lost that status through the fall of Adam and Eve. But Jesus brought back our status, and he came that we might enter back into the family of God. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer outcasts, but we are part of the royal family of God. And believing brings us into the family. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Listen to this. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, but these things were written. In other words, the Bible was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Listen, my brothers and sisters, repentance prepares you for the kingdom. Believing brings you into the kingdom. Repentance prepares your heart for the kingdom. Believing brings you into the kingdom. Now, I want to stress to you a definition of believing that our generation ignores, because the enemy has switched up some definitions in our vocabulary, because if he can't stop us, he'll try to get us to fall for the okey-doke. And I want to remind you that in the biblical context, the word believe means to give yourself fully to. I want to remind you that when Jesus says for us to believe on him, he's not asking just for us to agree with him. Because at the end of the day, he does not care if we agree with him, because his truth still remains truth. When he says to believe on him, my brothers and sisters, what he means is for you to give yourself fully to him. When Jesus says believe in the gospel, he means to give yourself fully to the gospel. When Jesus says believe in the kingdom, he says give yourself fully to the kingdom. And I want to remind you, I want to stress this fact, that God is not asking for you just to mentally agree with him. One can agree with God and still bust hell wide open. One can agree with God and still live a defeated lifestyle. No, Jesus is requiring us that we give ourselves fully to him. When Jesus says for us to believe, we are to give ourselves to him and his cause. Not 70%, not 80%, not even 99.9%. But he requires us to give of ourselves fully to him. And there's a lot of people in our generation, they're not really, really believing. They're just mentally agreeing, and they're missing out on the power of the gospel. There's a lot of people that look at Jesus like this chair, and they're walking around the chair and they're saying, I believe in this chair. I believe this chair could hold me up. I believe in this chair. I believe in this chair could hold me up. And they're just walking around. And then I say, you don't believe in that chair. You don't believe that chair could hold you up. And they say, oh yeah, I do. I believe in this chair. I believe this chair could hold me up. I say, you know, you don't. You don't believe. And they say, why you say I don't believe? I said, no, you don't believe. Why you say I don't believe? Because you never said in the chair. You never gave yourself to the chair. All you're doing is walking around. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. But that's not what the Bible teaches is real, authentic belief. If you're going to come into the kingdom, if you're going to experience the power of the kingdom, you can't just come to church and say, I believe. You can't just pick up a Bible and say, I believe. You can't just go to Bible study and say, I believe. You got to give yourself to Jesus. You got to give yourself to the kingdom of God. You got to give yourself to holiness. You got to give yourself to what God is doing. You got to give yourself. And I really want to challenge somebody today. It's time to stop playing around. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop playing with God. Your destiny is on the line. Your eternal life is on the line. It's time for you to. And sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Sometimes you ain't got to say a word. You just got to. It'll show up. It'll show up in your behavior. It'll show up in your priorities. It'll show up in your life when you just. Come on. Stop running around in circles. Spinning. Get me dizzy. So Jesus says we are to repent 180 degree. And we are to believe. Now let me teach you something real fast. Entering into the kingdom is both. It's an initial experience, but it is also a continuous, progressive experience. I want you to get this. Entering into the kingdom is an initial experience and a continuous progressive experience. There is an initial experience where you repent and believe and you land in the lobby of the kingdom. You are saved, you are sealed, and you are sanctified. But there's another experience where it's a progressive, continuous, where we take over new territory and we experience new dimensions of joy, new dimensions of deliverance, new dimension of wholeness. By the way, our women's conference is next Saturday, and it is called When Women Get Whole, and my wife is allowing me to preach just for a little bit, and I believe that their women are going to press into that situation, and they're going to experience new dimensions of wholeness, that your bruise is not going to hold you down no longer. The people that hurt you is not going to hold you down anymore, because we're going to press into our wholeness. So there's an initial entry, but then there's a continuous progressive experience. This is why we say don't spend your life in the lobby of the kingdom. This is why we say don't spend your life on the first floor of the kingdom. You got to press in to the kingdom. Getting back to Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says that since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. Another translation reads like this. He says, all who received the announcement of the kingdom entered vigorously and violently. Listen to this, another translation. All who received the announcement of the kingdom entered vigorously and violently. How many know you got to be spiritually violent at times? Sometimes you got to get spiritually violent. Listen, your inheritance in the kingdom of God will not be easily attainable. You must press into it. Your inheritance in the kingdom of God will not be easily attainable. You must press into it. Listen, I ain't going to sit up here and lie to you. Listen to this. Following the Lord in 2019 will not be easy. You must press into him. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Walking in your purpose in 2019 will not be easy. You must press into your purpose. We launched a School of Purpose last Thursday night, and I heard it was rocking up in here to the glory of God. If you missed it, you got another chance this Thursday night, right here in the city of Paramount, right here in the sanctuary, 7:15. Hear me today, my brothers and sisters. Being faithful to church in 2019 is not going to be easy. You must press into church. Being faithful to prayer and studying your Bible, it's not going to be easy. You must press in to your Bible. You must press in to prayer. Let's talk like family a little bit. Holiness, living a holy lifestyle in 2019 is not going to be easy. Not when you live in a generation that likes to do this and that. You got to press in to holiness. Your inheritance in the kingdom of God is not going to come and slap you upside your head. You got to open up that door. Sometimes you got to break down that door. And you need to press in to what God has for you in 2019. True faith is always coupled with determination and diligence. True faith is always coupled with diligence and determination. Let me remind you in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Listen to this. He says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. Get this. Don't just get excited in January, but I need you excited in October, November, and December. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. Listen, how many times do we give up on a prayer, or we give up on a dream, or we give up on an aspiration because it doesn't happen in the time that we think it should happen? And God is telling you, don't give up. You gotta be diligent. You gotta be persistent. He says, we don't want you to become lazy. Ooh, Man, that spirit of laziness is everywhere. In the Bible, in the King James Bible, it's called slothful. That's the King James Version, slothful. That means you lazy. The scripture says, I don't want you to be lazy, because the world tries to put us to sleep, tries to massage us so that we fall asleep on our calling. But he says, but to imitate those who through faith and patience, another translation for that word patience means endurance. In other words, the refusal to give up. The refusal to give up, so that by faith and patience you may inherit what has been promised. Notice the promise doesn't just come and slap you upside the head. You got to exercise faith and patience and endurance and diligence and determination so that your inheritance may be fully realized in your life. I want all that God has for my family. I want all that God has for my marriage. I want all that God has for my kids. But it comes through faith and endurance. That means, my brothers and sisters, that there's going to be obstacles. Why would he tell us to use faith and endurance if there's not going to be something that comes in the way? If there was nothing in the way, he would not tell us to use faith and patience. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Why do we need to press into the kingdom of God? Why do we need to press into the things of the God? Let me tell you something. I'm telling you this in the second Sunday of 2019. It is because everything is against us. My brothers and sisters, everything is against us. This world doesn't want us to walk in our calling. This world doesn't want us to walk in our purpose. Everything is against us. We're swimming upstream. We're swimming upstream. The kingdom of God ain't for no fairies. It's for men and women that refuse to give up, that vigorously and violently enter into it. Listen, everything is against us. The American culture is against us. American culture is against us. Culture includes all the ways of the world, the priorities of the world, the values of the world. We're swimming upstream. This is why Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:2, he says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. The American culture is greatly influenced by the kingdom of darkness, and the aim of the American culture is to distract us and to divert us from fulfilling our calling in God. If the devil can't beat us, he distracts us. And that's what the aim of the American culture is to distract us and to divert us from fulfilling our calling in God, so we could waste our years on this world, we could waste all the time that we have on this world, and we don't do nothing to advance the kingdom of God. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Can we talk like family? We as families are constantly wrestling with, should I go to church or should I go to Disneyland? Do you know when you go to start a church in Southern California, one of the first things they warn you about, they don't warn you about the bar down the street. They don't warn you about the trap house down the street. You know one of the things they warn you about when you go to start a church in Southern California? They warn you about Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. Universal Studios. They do. You take a crash course on church planting in Southern California, that name is going to pop up, because we're constantly wrestling with, should I go to the ball game or should I worship the Lord? Every year, can we talk like family? Every year, we as a church, we wrestle with the World Series and the Super Bowl. Every year. I got to prepare for it. I got to put on my hat. I got to prepare for it. Because it is the culture trying to push us away from fulfilling what Jesus came to do in our life. Can I talk like family? Just recently, I was talking to some pastors that pastor a large church, thousands of members at this particular church, and I was talking to them about ministry, and one of the things they shared with me, they said, Brian, we have, amongst all our services, we have an espresso Sunday worship service. I said, what? I started scratching my head. I said, what is an espresso worship service? Because the only espresso I know is something in a little cup. He goes, oh, yeah, we have an espresso Sunday worship service. And I said, well, what is it about? What is it about? Well, we don't have any worship songs. It's like a 40-minute service. and the preaching is on video. We usher them in and usher them out. It's an espresso. And I'm like, well, why, you know, why do you, you know, why is that? I'm thinking, why is that? He said, well, because people don't want to sit in a long service. People don't, they won't sit in a long service. And so we're just, you know, in my mind, we're just giving them what they want. And I begin to think, I don't know when is the last time I've been in an emergency room and the person that is bleeding out tells the doctor what they really need. That don't make sense to me. And I was thinking in my mind, I said, man, we can't get away with no espresso service at Chapel Chase because we find some real devils. People need a real God at Chapel of Change. I can't get away with no espresso. I would like to do espresso service. My flesh would like to do an espresso service, but we got a real devil to fight at Chapel of Change. People come in there bleeding out, dying spiritually, divorces, addicted. They need a real Holy Ghost. Ain't no espresso shot can deliver you from that. So I started getting mad. Can we talk like family? And then the Holy Spirit began to remind me of my sin. I hate when God does that. Can we talk like family? Y'all ain't gonna judge me, are you? Because I want to confess a sin today. This is the reason why you don't throw a rock when you live in a glass house. Y'all better not judge me. We have 3 midweek services. We have 1 on Long Beach, 7:15, 2 on Thursdays, here, Paramount, and Carson. And did you know, I'm glad my wife is not here. Did you know that in 2019, I canceled our Wednesday night midweek service? You know why? Because it was Halloween night, and I thought no one would come to church. Here I am judging this one church about having an espresso service, and the Holy Spirit is slapping me upside the head. I told you don't judge me now. Slapping me upside the head and said, what about you? You cater to the culture. You gave in to the pressure of the culture. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. And I felt so convicted the day after Halloween when I seen a post on Facebook of a sister who was waiting in the parking lot, hoping that somebody would open up that door for Bible study, and no one came. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, and we're all at some point in time infected by the culture of this world. And that is why 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins to God, he is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. This year, you better record this. This year, if I'm there by myself, we're going to hold a prayer service. If Halloween ever falls on a midweek service, mark my word, if I'm here by myself, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. The challenge for us, my brothers and sisters, press into the kingdom this year, like never before. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, while the worship team comes up, I just want us to reflect upon the word for just a couple moments. What was it that the Lord was trying to get across to you? What was it that the Lord was trying to get across to you? Just for a couple moments, let's bow our heads while everybody remains seated. Let's meditate and marinate on the word of the Lord. What was it that the Lord was trying to get across to you? And what area of your life do you need to press into like never before in 2019? What area of your life? If there's anybody in here today that through the preaching of the word, you felt the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart to recommit, to press into the kingdom of God in 2019. Maybe there's some areas you're slacking in. Maybe there's some areas you got distracted in. You and the Lord know what area those are. But if you're in the house today and you want to just make a commitment to press in like never before, I want to just pray with you right where you're at. I'm going to ask that you just stand up. Just stand up right where you're at. If this message ministered to you and the Holy Spirit kind of revealed that maybe there's an area that you become lazy in, an area that you become distracted in, and today you just want to recommit to pressing in that area like never before. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's holiness. Maybe you got distracted and you gave yourself to the world, but now you caught yourself and you want to repent and press into holiness. Maybe it's reading your Bible. Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's church attendance. Maybe in the last 3 months you have not been faithful to church and you want to commit to pressing into church because this is a vital part of our development into what God wants us to be. I don't know what area, but if you sense in your spirit that you've been diverted and distracted and you want to just press in, stand up to your feet, I want to pray with you right where you're at. I see you in the balcony. I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who had the courage to stand up. Lord, we confess our sins of being distracted and diverted by this world. Father God, we don't want to give our life to this world. We don't want to be distracted and diverted, Father God. Lord, we repent. We turn 180 degrees. We turn, Lord God. We don't turn 360 degree, we turn 180 degree, Lord. The complete opposite. Father, we are determined to press in, to give ourselves to you, give ourselves to your kingdom. Help us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Strengthen us, O Lord God. We don't want to waste any more time, Father God. We don't want to spin. We're tired of spinning, Lord God. We are committed. Be diligent and faithful, Father. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Help us. We cry out to you, Father. Oh, Lord God, help us. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. You may be seated. Listen. Listen.